Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
Crowd goes wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed, I'm your host, the one, the only Mark Unger. Joining me, as always, the very lovely and charming Diane Brierley, so pretty today, and the amazing Philip James Unger, as always. Engineering the show today is the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during this incomprehensibly boring show. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at askask@markgunger.com. You can send anything you want. Nothing's off limits, and you can remain totally anonymous, but we in turn tend to be brutally honest. That's how the show is done. Like, I look like a 1920s gangster or something.
Capone.
All right.
Bugsy Malone.
Believe it or not, I just changed out this jacket because the one before this one was even brighter.
That was really afraid. Obnoxious.
We would create epileptic seizures to our audience that watches the show.
That's quite crazy.
What do you got there today?
Okay, this little article was funny because a few weeks back we were actually talking about this. People who post all the things on Facebook about how wonderful their spouses are and all of that. And then like 2 days later after we had this discussion, I found the article. So had to pop this on the show. They say of all the couples on Facebook, there are far too many who overshare on the social networking site. You know who they are. The couple that feels the need to express their alleged love for each other on a daily Facebook status and post pictures on the hour remembering their blessings for finding their soulmate.
Hashtag blessed.
Yes. Common sense, which is not scientific evidence, would lead one to assume that such couples are overcompensating for something, which was what we had all decided. But science, meanwhile, has looked into these couples and found that overcompensation has nothing to do with it. A 2014 study actually found that they aren't overcompensating, that they found that those who post more on Facebook are happier than those who don't. Specifically, couples who are sharing the most selfies and checking.
What'd you say?
Call them liars.
Checking in with their dates are the happiest. That's what they say. But the study also found that people who are insecure about their relationships are more active on Facebook with intent to get more attention, and research has linked selfies with psychopathy.
Psychotic.
It's being psychotic and narcissistic, yeah.
No, I think people who do this probably are really happy.
Think?
They're always bubbling. I just think, I don't want to hear it. It's just a little over the top.
Mm-hmm. But it did
says
say
the man
that,
who dresses over the top.
That people who are insecure also do the same
yes.
thing.
Yes. Yeah. So
I think most of the ones we said, I don't think they're insecure. I think they're crazy about each other and they can't.
I think Phil's right. I think we're right in our original assumption, only because specifically when I look at some of the people I know who do it, I do think that we were right.
They have bad marriages, you think?
I think that there's a lot of insecurity. It's not as good as what they want to make the world think that it is.
I really don't care. It creeps me out either way. Yeah. Whether it's good or bad, don't do it.
I think that we should all start doing it.
Talking about, I'm so fortunate to find this incredible person.
My wife would probably block me. She has her online reputation to care about.
That's right.
Loveliesinmylife.com.
You know it's bad
I'm
when
unfriending you.
You when your wife blocks you from her site. Which is pretty funny. Well, it was the loveliesinyourlife.com.
Lovelies in my life.
Oh, the lovelies in my life.
She doesn't so much care about the lovelies in everyone else's life.
It's her life.
Lovelies in my life.
She's the perfect Unger. It's all about me. Loveliesinmylife.com. She should get on my website. And
she should wear a t-shirt. She should sponsor me.
Every week, she should just do a nice post on my site, right?
What do you mean?
She wants to drive traffic to her site.
Yeah.
Her father-in-law has 100,000 plus people
Yeah.
Go on my site and post.
So she wants to put it on your site.
Just to remind people that they can go to her site.
Oh, like advertise. I was say actually not put her posts on your site.
No, not advertise. I'm going to charge my... I'm going to charge my daughter-in-law.
Free advertising.
Yeah, you know Kirsty, for $5,000, we can get that site out there for...
I was not implying a charge.
Posting like, you know, under my name so I can get sent to everybody. And I think it'd be great.
Yeah. I don't know. You know what you can actually do?
I've been offering her this $1,000 printer for 8 months. She still hasn't picked it up, so what do I know? All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
Mark Gunger here, encouraging you. I want to talk to all the people who are have kids, who are getting ready to graduate from school, or you're getting ready to graduate from school, maybe in a year or two or whatever it is, from high school and then getting ready for college. Let me encourage you, slow down a bit. Don't just go rushing off into the crazy, because once you start, you never stop, man. Once you hit the college and getting that and coming out and getting your degree, you know, your degrees and getting your career started, and maybe by then you're already married, you got kids and everything, then... At some point, we say, you know, man, have you ever really gone anywhere and done anything, you know, really significant for God in your life? And the answer is, well, you know, I go to church. I went on a missions trip, which is like 10 days, which is more of a vacation to me. Not much of a missions trip. Slow down. Take 1 year of your life. Put God first. It'll build character and it'll change you forever. Anyone who's ever done any kind of extended missions opportunity knows it changed. Even the 10-day thing can change some people. But you do something significant. In our program, it's 6 months. You take the 1 year transition when instead of your first year in college, you come and we work with you. We show, it's not a Bible college, but we do show you how to succeed spiritually, how to succeed financially, how to succeed relationally, building character in you for the decisions you're about to make in your life. And then 3 months of the program end where you are in some missions program overseas or, you know, South America or someplace where we've got some wonderful people. They're safe places. We're not going to send you off to someplace that's, you know, middle of Iraq or something, but where you can plug in and really serve and see what it's like, what people live like in the other parts of the world, and get a chance to really live out your faith and help people and realize there's something bigger than you. Take that energy, that passion. And a lot of these kids, they come out and say, they don't even know what they want to do anyway. Spin on their wheels and stuff like that. Get a chance to get centered. Put God first. Even if you do know what you want to do, I don't care. You should still put God first in your life. Take a year, slow down, get some priorities. You parents need to start teaching this into your kids so that the most important thing in life is not money, okay? There's things way more important than that. So check it out, transitionone.org. And I thought it was bad religion. We're back on the Mark Gunger Show. Listen to music of Jimmy Bratcher. Check him out. JimmyBratcher.com. The Electric Rev. What do you got for emails?
Guy writing. He wants to know, is it possible to get married too soon? Dear Mark, 32 years ago in high school, I had the biggest crush on a girl. We were friends, but I always wanted to be more. We lost contact after she went to college. Didn't see her again until a little over 2 weeks ago. Okay. So he reconnected 2 weeks ago with her when a mutual friend brought us together. We met for coffee. The next day, there was an instant connection. We have spent every day since then with each other. She went to my church and had a good time. We've fallen in love and have discussed getting married, but our families think we should slow down. We completely believe it was a God thing that we were brought together, and we have so much in common and are evenly yoked. So my question to you, is it possible to get married too soon? We want to start our life together soon and face whatever comes our way. She has two kids, 18 and 22. He has three kids, 20, 17, and 8. And he says the kids all get along really great and they like each other.
I'm sorry. It's a Brady Bunch.
Can I restate? 2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
That's not a no. That's a hell no. For heaven's sakes. 2 weeks. Rushing off like crazy. Putting these kids together in this young situation. These new siblings. Honestly. Listen. You're writing, ask my advice. Listen to the people around you. everybody around you that know you and love you and care about you. I love you from a distance because I don't know you. I don't really love. How can I love you? I don't even know who you are. I don't want to know who you are. You got the people around you who are the closest to you, who care about you and stuff like that. And they're all saying to you, stop, 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 stop. Listen to them. And none of this is what God put us together. These people. God put us together. And then 3 years in the marriage, they're in hell. Mm-hmm. I wonder where God is then. Mm-hmm. Stop it. Marriage is a choice. It is not a divine appointment. All you people who are so psycho crazy with God's going to bring me my spouse. God's doing this. God doesn't do that kind. I'm just telling you, there's no place biblically where you find that. You get mad at me all you want about it. The reality is you need to make a choice. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. So, well, I found somebody. Well, how do you know? You're 2 weeks into it. Plus, you're also in a situation where there's all kind of baggage in the previous marriage and throwing all these kids together. Oh, my goodness. Look. I can tell you my opinion about all that, which is pretty much bad, but it doesn't matter. Listen to your family. Listen to your friends. They know you. Don't be rushing off when everybody is warning you. These people all the time, you know, they get in these bad situations, and I ask them, well, didn't anybody warn you? Oh, yeah, we had all kinds of people warn. Well, why didn't you listen to them? I had a guy last year, a friend of mine, been married. He was in 6 months in the thing. He was in hell. I'm sure he felt God brought them together, too. Mm-hmm. He'd be so spiritual.
Well, and just as an FYI, neither of their previous marriages ended because of adultery. They were kind of sketchy reasons because I asked.
They're not even biblical reasons for divorce. You guys are a mess. Listen, you don't want to hear what I think. Right. You're not going to like what I think. That's not the point. The point I want to make from this email is listen to the people around you. Okay? Now, generally speaking, if you're young and your parents are these psycho people who all they care about is money, I tell young people not to listen to your parents. For heaven's sakes, aren't we supposed to obey our parents? No. When you're a child, you obey your parents. When you're older, you honor your parents. You can honorably say, no, we're going to get married. But beyond, these are adults. They've been married. They've got children. They've got friends and family. They're all yelling at you. Don't do it. Don't. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. Listen to them and quit being foolish. All right. Next email.
Okay.
I'm irritated. Next email already.
Okay.
It's okay. He'll just go to someone else who says
we'll
it's
tell
okay.
Him what it
oh,
means.
I know.
Because exactly that's what they do. They shop around until they get someone to tell them what they want to hear.
My mama told me you better shop around. All right.
Okay. Guy writing. He says, before I was married, I always wanted two or three kids to call my own. This is what I thought my family was going to be like.
So he started kidnapping children. Is that what he did?
No.
Oh.
No. He says, I guess that set me
an
up
awful
for...
awful email.
I've had two or three children. I've always wanted to call my own. So I just started grabbing them.
Wouldn't that be terrible? He says, I guess that set me up for a false expectation because my wife and baby had too many complications and my wife is too scared to try again. I have asked her several times to see if she's changed her mind, but she does not sway in her decision. I'm starting to feel betrayed and resentment towards my wife.
Oh, stop it. What is it with these people? I'm so betrayed and some of the big emotional things. You got a problem. Your wife had a lot of complications. It was very painful. It was very, some women, they're on the verge of death. You know, people used to die all the time from this.
And it still happens occasionally.
I know, but the reason why it's so much rarer now is because of all the advanced medicine. Yes. Chances are your wife would have died,
yes,
you know, 100 years ago.
Yes.
She doesn't want to take that risk again. Well, just be nice to the girl. You got the one baby, move on.
I wouldn't want to try the first time.
What?
I said I'd have been scared to try the first time.
Who, you?
She said, yeah, just thinking of it, just like... I can...
Oh, that women would be afraid to even try
no,
to...
No, I get that.
I was there for four of them.
Intense. Yeah. It's a little intense. Mm-hmm. She doesn't want to do it again. All right, adopt. Do you know how many kids are out there?
Well, he says, I've also suggested adoption to her, but she just rolls her eyes and makes me feel stupid.
Well, I can't imagine what that feels like. Look, work it out with the girl. Work it out, people. Why are you emailing me? I don't understand why people email something this foundational. His wife doesn't want to have any babies because it was so scary the first time around. It was so problematic. Why are you pushing? You say, I feel betrayed. Stop. If she's having sex with other men, now you can feel betrayed. If she's not, stop it. Stop with all the dramatic talk. She doesn't want to do it again. All right. You start talking about adopting. She rolls her eyes. So what? Keep
Guess
talking
what?
About
There's
it.
A million things in life that don't turn out the way that you thought they would.
Yeah, you
if
think?
This is only one, you're doing pretty good, my friend.
The older you are, the longer the list.
Yeah. This didn't turn out the way I wanted, and that didn't turn out the way I wanted.
People have such a sense of entitlement that they actually feel robbed and betrayed, like he says. I feel rotten. Those people get mad at God. I'm mad at God because their life didn't come out exactly. They live in this delusion that they get to have everything they want the way they want it. Mm-hmm. Seriously? Honestly, I haven't given a swirly in a long time. Stick your head in the toilet and flush! Snap out of it. I got news for you, Buttercup. This is just the beginning of a long list of things that won't go the way you want. I speak from experience.
Too bad.
Yeah.
So right, sad. Move on. Okay. How do you balance it all, she wants to know, being a
very
daughter.
Carefully. It depends if you're on top of a building or.
Like a Walenda.
A Walenda. Is it right? It's a Walenda question.
Okay. Being a daughter of Christ, a wife and a mother, all of that.
I'm How do you balance it all? Okay.
I'm torn at the moment. I feel that there are areas God is tugging at my heart to serve him, but there are no apparent signs yet. I don't know what that means. In the past, I got too busy and overwhelmed with life, school, being a mother, Bible study. I didn't even have time to be a wife or spend time with God, which is obviously a big no-no. It's vital to make sure I have time not just with God, but with my husband, but I'm also in school. Is it best not to serve at the moment? What do you suggest?
I think you think too hard. She gives me a headache just hearing that.
She wants to do this and she wants to do that.
Then,
she
can't I'm going to balance this. I'm going to balance another. Good. You don't want people to have heart attacks at an early age or high blood pressure and all this other crazy stuff. Stress out to half of America's medicated out of their ever-loving minds because they're stressed out about everything.
Well, you can't do it all.
Well, I've got all kinds of things in life I got to balance. I try not to think about it. I just do it. I got to have a job. I got to be a father. I got to be a grandfather. I got to be a husband. I got to do a job. I got to run a church. I got to do this marriage ministry. I got to... Yeah, and come to think of it, I do have a lot of people come up to me. How do you balance it all? How do you? And you can just tell they're stressed out. Just I think, good grief, relax. Mm-hmm. What I do is I don't try to figure it out all at one time.
And there's what I have to do today.
Just what do you got to do right now? Right? Who cares? I don't try to balance it. You know what I got to do? When I got to preach and I got to be a pastor, that's what I do. When I'm doing that, I'm not worrying about what I got to do as a father. I'll get around to that as soon as I'm done with this. You know, when I'm doing seminars, I don't think, gee, how do I pastor balance being a pastor? I don't worry about it. I'm there to do a marriage seminar. I'll worry about being a pastor when I get back to my church and I'm preaching. Mm-hmm. I think people just think too. I think she's thinking way too hard.
I have a huge long list of everything that I have to do, and it's one day at a time. If I start thinking I have to do this and this and this, I do get really overwhelmed. So it's like, don't think about it. All you have to do is get through today. Just what do you have to manage today? And I don't worry about how do I do it all, because people say to me all the time, how on earth do you do this?
Not only do it all, how do you balance it all?
Well, it's not balanced.
Which implies doing all of it at once.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you don't.
You don't do it all at once, sweetheart.
Just do what you have to do.
Just do what you got to do. Relax.
So your advice to her would be to not worry about volunteering in her church while she's going to school and doing everything else?
And being a mother. And yeah, sometimes you just have to say no to some things.
Look, do what you, when you're at church, how can you not volunteer? What's that got to do with your work? You're at church. You're not at work. You're not in school. You can be an usher. How complicated is that? You know, church volunteering is one of the most brain-dead things you could possibly do. I tell my churches all the time.
Well, and if you're going to church anyway, do your serving then. Don't pick up three more nights during the week to do something that you have to do.
Exactly.
Do it on Sunday mornings when you're at church.
How can I balance my church volunteering with school? Well, try not to serve communion when you're at school. Try not to be a greeter at your classroom. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Good to see you. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously. How do I balance my job and my marriage? Well, I don't know. Don't bring your husband to work. You know, go to work. When you're done with work, go home and then quit worrying about work. Be a wife. I just think she's thinking too hard. Giving me a headache.
So?
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Download your free Mark Gunger app today to see all of the latest from the world of Mark Gunger.
We're back. The Mark Gunger Show, Diane Brierley, Phil Gunger, answering your emails. What do you got?
Okay, I got divorced 6 years ago, met a very young girl, 26 years younger than me, after he was divorced.
Whoa.
That's impressive.
We felt, well...
impressive young Skywalker. Okay.
We fell in love. Now we have a blessed baby boy of 2 years. Me and my baby boy's mama, my girlfriend.
Oh, he's a baby daddy.
Seriously, are thinking of getting married. Do you think it's wise of me to marry a young woman almost half my age? I'm scared that as she becomes mature, she might change her mind. What do I do? Because a few years after my divorce, I did ask our Lord Jesus for a woman who had never been with another man, who will love and accept me as I am, and as I would love and accept her. So I met her, found her. We love each other so much, but I'm afraid of disappointments. Please pray for me and my girlfriend so that we make a godly decision.
I am not praying for you and your girlfriend. You're out of your ever-loving mind. I don't even want to hear anymore. You want wisdom. About, since when are you interested in wisdom? You're having sex with some girl who's 26 younger than you, being irresponsible, having a child, and you want to know what Jesus, you think Jesus gave you a 26-year-old? Oh, how old is he?
26 years younger than him.
So how old is he?
I didn't ask.
Like 60 or something? What the heck? So you're having sex with some girl. What? And he's asking for wisdom?
Well, God brought him. Jesus brought him.
Jesus didn't bring somebody to you so you could fornicate. You nitwit. What is the matter with people? You know what? And it's probably not even his fault. Do you realize he is, in all honesty, I tell people about emails like this. They don't believe me.
I know.
That people today in the church frequently, normally a sane person would never admit to all that, even though he was doing it. Because there'd be a certain amount of shame, a guilt, because... But in the church is so failed to talk about basic morality that people who are believers do stuff like this, and they're not even aware that what they're doing is wrong.
No.
I mean, how's that even possible? Read your Bible. You're not supposed to be having sex with people you're not married to, much less 26 years younger than you. Now your wisdom question is, I want to have...
What if she changes her mind about him later on down the road?
What? When he's... in a wheelchair and she's just turning 26?
Is it wise?
For heaven's sake!
Is it wise to marry her? He didn't ask if it was wise to fornicate with her.
He's fornicating. He's given... Oh.
I knew that one was
you knew you were setting this up.
I love that
one.
I want wisdom.
Tee it up.
I want wisdom. The Lord Jesus has brought...
That's what he asked for. He
maybe
wanted
he means
the
Lord Krishna or something.
No, no, no.
These people aren't Christians.
No, no, no.
What version of Christianity is this?
No.
Oh,
he
my
wants
gosh.
To make a godly decision because his first marriage was not in God's fully perfect will.
Dude, you are a Nimrod. I wish you was close. I'd slap him in
That's
the face.
Awful.
Move on. I lost my salvation. I need to pray for redemption. Good night.
He's trying to be kinder and gentler.
I'm trying to be nice. Yes. This is my version of nice.
I know.
In the past, I would have just absolutely gone crazy.
So Move should on. He marry her?
He should be in jail as far as I'm concerned.
But he's got this child with her. Now what? They want to do the right thing.
What do you mean? I love these people. They're doing nothing but wrong. Wait, I want to do the right thing. What do you mean now you want to do that?
Can he make
You know what?
Right?
I've been stabbing people and I've been killing people, but now I want to do the right thing and, you know, I want to become a doctor.
Can he make it right, though,
I don't know. Maybe we got a problem with you, the killing and the stabbing. What do you mean? Oh, no. Oh.
Is there any way to make it right? How can you find God's perfect will?
She keeps jabbing him. She's poking the barrel over there.
Give me another email.
Because we're at the bottom of the hour. So we're not going to start something
goodness.
Else. I get to keep poking you until the music runs out.
I need to fast and pray. I don't understand people. They're insane. I want wisdom because God brought this fornicator to me.
That's what he asked for.
So he's like 55 and she's 30, 29?
Maybe. I didn't ask how
old. Oh my gosh. I mean, when he was 26, she wasn't even born yet. Fornicating. giving birth out of marriage, all the whole thing. But now Jesus did all this.
Oh, Lord, help me. We'll see you.
Caution. The Mark Gunger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
Eyes. I know, but I still feel awful.
Back on the Mark Gunger Show, we're arguing about stuff. Talking about love, marriage, and relationships. And people who drive me insane. New email, please. Okay. What have you got?
What have you got? Okay, this is actually a dating situation, not a marriage situation. Right. She says, my question is, where do you draw the line between reminding and babysitting? I was really sick. My boyfriend...
Signed, Debbie Gunger.
My boyfriend came over to take care of me. While he was downstairs making the tea, I could hear him and my roommates laughing really loudly. A couple of questions. One, is it weird that I'm super annoyed and I feel like he's not being thoughtful of me upstairs while I'm sick and throwing up, and he's carrying on downstairs making everyone laugh and disturbing my peace, or am I just being really uptight? So that's question number one.
I don't know. I think she probably has a point.
He comes over to take care of her being sick.
And he's partying downstairs. I mean, I don't know. I can see. But rather than wrestle with it, I would just talk to him. Mm-hmm. I've done this. I still do this. You know, my wife's sick and people come over and it doesn't take long before we're all just roaring our heads off because they're around me. You know, and at times it'll bug her and say, hey, you know, when I'm off and... So then I'm more thoughtful. Yeah. So all you got to do is talk to him about it. Yeah. It's not that big of a deal. So
okay, she says, the next scenario. I have to have some repairs done to my house. My boyfriend said he would do them for me weeks ago. He says to keep reminding him, and I feel I've done this plenty of times, but he insists I need to keep reminding him. I don't want to nag, and yes, there are times I need to be reminded about things, but at what point does this turn into babysitting? I've suggested that he makes reminders on his phone, but still nothing. I'm very frustrated, and I have enough on my plate, and I don't want to have to constantly be reminding him of things.
Okay. Chica, listen to me. Escúchame. Lean into the speaker or towards your television. If this is driving you crazy now, dump him and move on. Because it's only going to get dramatically worse after you get married. If you didn't see any of this before you get married, you'd still see it after you got married.
Women, well, every guy is like that.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
So, if she moves on, the next one's going to do the same thing.
Well, then she should become a nun or something. I mean, anybody who's dating and is driving them crazy already. Yeah.
Well, then don't get married because
then don't get married, sweetheart.
Every guy's going to do it.
Good. And that's the point. Dump him. Maybe you have someone who's an extreme psycho and he's really out of it and you need to dump him, or you're just not wired for this. Okay. There's people, honestly.
They're just not marriage material. They're not.
Honestly, sweetheart, you're with a boy, you're just dating him, and already he's driving you crazy enough that you got to send me an email over something like this. You might really want to rethink the whole thing through. All right, what else you got?
I'm sending you into fits and bothers today.
No, but I'm just, I mean, seriously? You can't help but laugh when you read stuff like that, right?
I know.
It's so typical, and she's already going crazy about it.
Well, either have to figure out that's normal, and you need to get used to that if you want to be married, or if it's really going to make you crazy, don't get married. Because that's what it's all about.
Honestly.
That's what y'all are like, so.
Or if he's that bad, then dump him and try for someone else that maybe who isn't that bad. I don't know. In any case, should she marry this guy the way she feels right now?
No.
So, all right.
Okay. Find a good handyman. That's what I finally did.
That's what I always do. Something's busted. I reach for the phone.
Mm-hmm. That's how I learned how to fix things from my father.
He learned it from his father.
He passed that down to you.
Mm-hmm. Need something fixed? Sure, I'll fix it.
This is our number one tool.
Hello? Yeah. That's right.
That's the best tool in your
life. Actually, have you found a handyman?
I did.
Really? Who's that? Don't say his name, but I mean, I need a handyman.
Yeah, he goes to our church.
Really? Okay, I need a handyman because all kinds of stuff around here needs to be done. And I don't want to do it.
So when something breaks,
I'm a slacker.
I've already been talking to Mom about this. Don't worry.
Yeah. She's been holding out on me. I've been telling her forever we need a handyman.
Well, and then she just told me, no, your dad said he thinks he wants to get up there and fix it himself.
Oh, she did not. Thinking like,
really?
like she's, our dad, my dad.
She's delusional. I don't know what she's do talking about. I don't want to get out of bed in the morning. All right. What else
so
you got?
So when something breaks at Phil's house, he goes to the shelf where the toolbox is and he opens it and there's his phone. There's a phone.
Fully charged all the time.
Fully charged.
One number on it.
Single handyman.
It's his handyman phone. The handy
all
phone.
Right. All
okay.
Right.
Another dating email. Yes. She says, my boyfriend and I have been dating for almost 2 years now. Uh-huh. We fell into temptation within the first year and I noticed him change towards me.
That's exactly what happens, sweetheart. That's why you don't want to do with these guys. Oh, you girls, stop having sex with these guys. Things do change dramatically afterwards a lot of times.
She says, I repented and now am after God's own heart, but my boyfriend and I are drifting away. Should I stay and fight for us and trust in the Lord to keep us together or remain single as I promised God to marry the one that I gave my purity to?
Oh, I wouldn't get caught into that. You repent, you ask God to forgive you, and then you move on, and hopefully you find another boy that you don't have sex with. You don't have to be celibate for the rest of your life because you made a mistake. All right? There's forgiveness. Reset the meter. But now that relationship is very likely weird now. So don't do it again. All right? And here's the other thing. That's why you girls, you date for a year. If a guy doesn't ask you to marry him in a year, you dump him and move on. Or you got this. Then you wind up burning years trying to get over this nonsense. Now don't do this stuff, for heaven's sakes. You don't have to be celibate the rest of your life. Well, I told, okay. You go to God and say, sorry. Sorry.
And then don't do it again.
Well, I said, I made a vow. You're not supposed to be making vows in the first place. Jesus said, like, your yes be yes and your no be no. You've heard it of ancient time. Pay your vows unto the Lord. Jesus says, Just let your yes be yes and your don't be telling, making vows. Well, you just said, yes, I will do. Well, okay. Then you just apologize. You move on. All right.
Okay. Next email from a guy says, we recently watched your video at our church. Just wanted to let you know we really enjoyed it. For me, it was kind of tough because I would love to use a lot of your tips, but I'm still struggling with trusting my wife after an affair that she had.
Okay.
We were separated for a year and are trying to make it work. I really don't feel like getting burned again. And I know that I have put up a huge fence. Is it worth it to try to pretend that I can trust her, or should I be honest with myself? I guess I thought it wouldn't still feel the same as before because of the same things I'm not interested in. I don't know what that means. Any advice you could have would be appreciated.
What are they talking about when they say trust? What does that mean?
Can't trust that she won't do it again?
But, I mean, but practically, what are they talking about?
What does trust look like? What do you want to see? I don't know. I don't think that it's a look like something. I think it's they want the feeling to go away, that feeling of betrayal, and they want to know for sure that this will never happen again.
Well, you'll never know.
I think that's what they're looking for when they talk about trust.
Even when you trust, nothing's ever happened. There's no guarantee. Everybody wants guarantees. There's no guarantee. My wife could cheat on me tomorrow. There's no guarantee on that. You know, it's just called trust. It's called being vulnerable. If you never, ever want to get hurt, then divorce your wife and never get married again. Pretty simple. That's your alternative. All you people want to do all these guarantees. Well, I'm hurt, I'm wounded. Okay. You know, but you say, well, I can't trust. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, you don't think she should go on dates with other men anymore? I mean, at some point, my wife, what am I trying to say? There's stuff that you just don't throw into the category of trust. My wife wants to meet with some guy over and over again, the same guy by herself, going to lunch. No.
No.
Well, don't you trust me? No. No. It's not about trust. It's just using your brain. You know, I don't want my wife talking on the phone for hours and long with somebody I don't know who she's talking to. It's not a trust issue. You tell her to stop it.
No.
It's like these people, I trust my teenager. You're an idiot. Trust your teenager. Wild hormones in the bedroom with the door closed. They're doing their math. Yeah, I don't think so. They're doing their biology. Finding out what goes where. Goodness gracious. These ignorant parents, I trust my children. Not trust. That's just stupid. It's laziness. What do you mean by trust? I can't trust my wife. Is she dating other men? Is she talking on the phone? She does something inappropriate? If she does, you call her on it. Trust doesn't mean just you can do anything you want to do.
I don't know. I don't know.
I just know what they mean by that.
I don't know that if you're
you think God trusts us?
No. No.
Thou shalt, thou wilt, don't do this, do that. There's rules.
I honestly don't think that if you've been betrayed like that, I don't think that you can ever fully trust that person. I don't think that you can ever fully trust them, even if they don't. There's always that possibility. You can't ever be 100% certain that someone's not going to do something to stab you in the back.
Okay, but here's the thing.
So what is trust? What are they talking about?
I don't know. I don't. Is it possible that she would be gone hours at a time, unaccounted for?
Well, then...
That's how she had the affair in the first place.
Well, then you don't let that happen again. That's not about trust.
I know, but that's what people say.
She goes and repeats the same pattern.
Look, I know people, their spouse, their wife was off doing God knows what. I can't even begin to tell you some of these stories I've heard. And I think, who has the time for that? Mm-hmm. So what did you think when they were gone for days on end?
Well, they trusted them.
That's not trust. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Well, I want to get to the place where I can trust them again. No, that kind of trust you should never had in the first place.
No.
My wife was gone for hours on end and overnight, and you never checked. Well, I thought she was at her granny. You never called granny to check? Yeah. Well, I trust them. Well, how'd that work out for you, Fred? Yeah. Well, it didn't work out. That's the kind of trust. You don't do that. That's not trust. That's to me that's stupid. My wife doesn't trust me to be gone for days at a time without knowing exactly what's going on. Honestly.
And then they get mad. They go, well, you don't trust me? You don't trust me? No.
No,
They act like you're supposed to. No.
Yeah, you're supposed to let somebody do anything they want with no accountability. That's not trust. That's just stupid. So I don't know what he means by trust. I will say this. These people, they have the biblical exception for divorce. Everybody's got all these exaggerated reasons of why you can get divorced. I challenge most of that. The only clear biblical reason for divorce is adultery. You have a spouse who's committed adultery and say, I decided to stay, but now I'm miserable and I can't trust them. Well, then why are you staying? Either get over it or divorce the person and move on. Mm-hmm. So living in this limbo, I know couples who someone committed an affair and all the other person that they didn't divorce them, but they torture them for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. They torture them. They remind them every day, you did this to me. You did this to me. Really? Stop. Well, I decided to stay in my marriage. Then stay married and stop with all the crazy. Get over it. So, well, I'll always feel hurt. Well, you know, it is what it is. That's why you're not supposed to do it. But either divorce them or let it go. I don't know what else to tell people. I'm sure there's nice books about it all. I don't have one. All right, take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
Back on the Mark Unger Show, answering your emails about love, marriage, and relationships.
Okay, this one, I think it's from a guy. He says, I desperately need some advice. I'm 42 years old, married for 14 years, and have an 8-year-old boy. Our marriage has been up and down for the last 10 years, unfortunately more down than up, with many periods of serious breakups and reconciliation after counseling sessions. However, the last 2 years, we hardly spoke to each other. Bitterness has set in, and we are just together for the sake of our son. I personally have lost any emotional feeling of love towards my wife, and many times wonder whether God has put together or whether we just chose bad from the start or put us together. Chose bad from the start. Again, with a God put us together.
Yeah.
He says, I'm tired of going from
work. I wonder if God put us together, and I hate this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why would God do that to you? It doesn't make any sense. Okay, keep going.
I'm tired of going for more counseling sessions, as it only helps for a few weeks, and we are back at each other's throats. I don't see anything changing. We argue about so many things, even the in-laws, so that each of their parents are now against each other. I feel like a failure in God's eyes, as I should have worked harder on my marriage. I desperately need to know, 1, is it the right thing to put my child through such a marriage?
No, you should stop it. I know what they're thinking. Oh, should I put my child in those to get a divorce? You narcissistic little snot, stop it. We yell and scream at each other. Hey, I got news for you. It takes two to tango. Stop it.
Well, apparently they don't speak to each other at all.
I'm telling you, the guy is being a jerk. I don't love my wife. What are you talking about? The Bible says you're supposed to love your wife like Christ loved the church.
Here's the thing. Even if you have not one lick of feelings of love or intense good emotions towards that person, you can live in that house, you can act in loving ways, and you can be kind, and you can be nice, and shut up.
Amen. Preach it. Thank you very much in the gallery.
I don't care what you feel. I don't care that you don't have feelings for her.
He's just
a big
baby, this guy.
You can still act like a nice husband and be kind and do loving things.
I don't love my wife, but he loves Jesus. What?
Mm-hmm.
You don't love Jesus. You love Jesus, you'd love your wife. Have you put that math together? The fact that you do not, and you freely say, I do not love my wife, means you don't really love Jesus. The Bible says if you can't love your brother that you can see, you can't love God that you can't see.
Well, he's confusing the feelings of love with what actual love is. Love is doing the right things.
I'm just challenging the idea that I love Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Jesus. I can't stand somebody, but I love Jesus. No.
No.
If there's people in your life you can't stand, you're bitter and angry towards someone, you can't. You don't love Jesus. You're delusional. Mm-hmm. If you can't love your brother, the Bible says that you can see how you can't love God. That's what the Bible says. And your wife. I don't love my wife, but I really love Jesus. You're delusional. All right. What else he got? Do we care? I don't care. I don't even care. We're going to take a break. You've been censored. I love Jesus, but I hate people. I'm talking one guy, I love Jesus, but I can't stand my kids.
Whoa.
I want to leave my kids. But I really love God. What level of delusion is there in this? I love Jesus, but I hate people. There's people who say that. I really love Jesus, but I hate my pastor.
Well, I confess.
Yeah, you confess.
I have that problem.
You have that problem, you turd. I loved you, but I hate people. I don't know. I really think the version of Christianity people live in their heads is not Christianity. It's some weird thing they just make up.
Oh, they don't even know what real Christianity is.
They've never read the Bible. They don't want to read the Bible. They just kind of, it's all driven off of feelings and emotions and whatever they got in their head.
I love Jesus. I get to go to heaven and it doesn't matter what else I do.
I hate people. Oh, isn't that weird? Because that's a different kind of Christianity that I'm aware of. I love Jesus, but I fornicate with my 26... Or my 26 years younger woman and have babies. I'm a baby daddy. I just screw women, mm-hmm. but I really love Jesus. Really? Wow. Wow. I don't know. People are very strange. You know, it's like someone saying, you know, they're 450 pounds overweight, but I'm really healthy. You know, I'm really into health and stuff like that. I never exercise. But I really believe
I really take good care of my body.
I take good care of myself. You know, in between bites of potato chips. You're 600 pounds overweight, but I'm in good shape. I mean, that's really the equivalent, isn't it? I really love Jesus, but I fornicate my brains out. No, I'm really in great shape, and I can't get out of this bed. I haven't been out of this bed in 6 years because I'm so heavy. You know, and anybody watching like that, we feel bad for you if that's the case. But at least admit, I've got a problem.
Yeah. Yep.
If you're heavy, you got a problem. Okay. But if you're heavy like that and you really think, man, I'm healthy. Mm-hmm. I'm in great shape. Then you're delusional. I love Jesus. I hate people. I fornicate. I commit adultery. I steal. I lie. I cheat. And I love Jesus. Wow. Wow. Let's take a break. We'll be back with the final segment right after this.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
Paid my dues till I up and moved.
We're back. Final segment of the Mark Gunger Show, answering an email. What do you got?
She says, my husband and I have been married for 5 years, have a 13-month-old daughter. Our marriage has been relatively smooth with some bumps, mainly about sex and porn, which we've dealt with early on. Anyway, since our pregnancy and birth of our daughter, it feels like our relationship has changed. Can't imagine that happening.
It's called being parents. Yes.
We don't talk as much, and when we do, we are often quite snappy. I'm just wondering if you have any tips for couples with young
children.
Keep it
snappy. Here's the, be nice. Be nice to each other. I know you're tired. I know the hormones are crazy. You got this little ball of, it's driving you nuts and crying and yelling and just hang in there. Don't overreact. Don't do damage, long-term damage to your marriage. I understand people are on a shorter fuse now. Any parent has gone through what you're going through now. In fact, you know what you really ought to do? Instead of writing me, bless you, you should talk to your mom. Mm-hmm. Talk to your friends. Anybody's been a parent, they've been there. They'll laugh about it with you. They'll talk you through it. You know, this isn't some big mystery.
It's normal. That's what normally happens.
But you know what the problem is? People live on islands today.
Yeah.
They don't talk to anybody. They're afraid that they're going to look stupid or... I don't know what's going on in their heads emotionally about this stuff. Talk to people. Mm-hmm. Goodness gracious. I mean, any parent who would read your email would start laughing.
Well, and because I'm the best mother-in-law in the whole wide world, when my daughter-in-law was getting ready to have my wonderful little grandson,
yes.
I told her, you know, it's going to be really hard. You're not going to sleep. But this is normal. And you call me anytime and I'll come over. And because I didn't know that. Nobody told me that. And I kind of freaked out when I first became a mom.
You're on an island.
Yeah.
You know better.
Told me, yeah.
That's why you're warning them.
Yes. And so, you know, it's like I said, it's going to, you know, you'll be stressed when he's crying, so they'd be texting me, he's been crying all night, you know. I'm like, okay, I'll come over in the morning.
We don't know what to do. Yeah. It won't shut up. How do I make it shut up? It's when you call your grandma. Mm-hmm. For heaven's sake. Well, not your grandma. We can't, depends on how old your grandma is, but the new grandma.
You call me anytime and I'll come over.
And that's what I'm saying. Most grandparents, don't they just... Now, there are some that are weird.
That they don't want...
They don't even like their own grandkids. Those are really weird people. Yeah. Ugh, they creep me out. I mean, those people, I just want to punch them. It's a matter of you not like your own grandchildren.
Well, I know some grandparents that are like, well, we got through it. We didn't have any help. You're on your own. You do... I know that. And that's terrible.
They're weird people.
I don't want to do that. I'm like, oh, please let me help you.
But most, I would think you're... Mom would love. My mom's 5 million miles away from mom. I don't know. That's why you want to be around your parents. Single people. When you get married, keep the girl near her family. I have all these problems, but talk it through. Talk it through with other people. You know what you're going through. Everybody's gone through.
That's right, Phil. Kids. It's normal.
It's normal.
Do you ever get snappy?
Snappy with each other.
Just more and more jazz hands.
More like West Side Story. Dee 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 dee. When you're a jet all the way. You know, so no. If that's that kind of snappy where they're breaking into jazz songs.
Oh, then that's okay.
That's a good snappy. But if you're snapping at each other, I don't know. Have you ever snapped at somebody?
Never. I have never
snapped
at anybody. Never.
That's what happens, sweetheart. You get tired. You get tired. Get some people in your life. Don't live on an island. Talk it through. What you're experiencing is what all parents experience. Here's the good news. In 18 years, they leave. The problem is it takes 18 years. All right. God bless y'all. See you next time.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.